Welcome to the Book Chooks, where we talk about books with your host, Librarian Selena.
I love reading books, it's fun. I often read them with my mom. I like reading to explore. There's no better way, I'm sure. I love reading.
Right here on Planet 104.6 FM. Stay tuned for the next half hour as we find more great books to read. Good evening, readers and listeners. Tonight, Herb Lady Karen is joining me to share what she's been reading. And
Hi, everyone.
Welcome, Karen. Now, Karen, I have some sad news. It will be my last Book Chooks.
Oh.
But good news is, remember the job hunting that we were doing?
Oh, yes.
It paid off.
It paid off. I reckon, did you listen to that, take the advice of that last man that was on here?
Tom O'Neill.
Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good.
Congratulations, Selena. I'm so happy for you.
Yay. But I still need you here to help me with some herb ID.
Right. That's right. So what was the herb that you're wanting to talk about today, Selena?
There's so many to choose from, but I could do with some help with sage.
Funnily enough, I have been just doing some research on that myself. So here's what I found. Okay. Now, it's sage, also known as common sage or garden sage, and the scientific name for it is Salvia officinalis. And it's a perennial, which means that it lasts forever. It's an evergreen, which means it doesn't lose its leaves. Mm-hmm. And it's a sub-shrub, which means that basically it's a small shrub. Mm. It has greyish leaves and an indigo flower. Do you have that herb in your garden, Selena?
Yeah, I do. I've got one that was growing for a while and one that I've newly transplanted into my brand new raised veggie bed.
Yay!
So I'm hoping that will flourish. Oh, also I have one that is also called sage, but it's pineapple sage.
Oh, yes. I think that's a I'm not very good with the scientific terminology. I wish I was better with taxonomy and all that, but maybe a subgenus?
Oh. Have you been doing your research?
Taxonomy is not my strength. I'm not sure if it's a family or a species, but it's definitely a part of the sage family, sage.
Good.
It's a beautiful one. Unlike the common sage, which has an indigo flower, the pineapple sage that I've seen has like a really vibrant sort of fuchsia-coloured flower. It's gorgeous.
Reddy, crimsony.
Yeah.
Yeah, very bright.
And, get this, a pineapple smell.
Yeah,
it's lovely. It really does. It's bizarre. It's quite nice in a cup of tea. Now, did you know that sage is a member... Oh, sorry. It is of Mediterranean descent. I didn't know that.
I
knew thyme and rosemary and all that.
Because it likes dry and
so
in that family of
who is the herb expert here?
Oh, well.
Goodness. And here's another thing I learned. It's a member of the mint family. And if you look at the sage leaves, I've got a picture, look. They could look, you know, quite elongated sort of leaves.
Similar, yes.
Yeah. So there you go. Now, the common sage name, which is scientific name, which is officinalis.
Mm.
Okay. Officinalis, I did a bit of research, refers to the plant's medicinal use. And this is because the officina, I'm probably saying it completely wrong. Maybe it's officina.
Officina.
It was the traditional storeroom of a monastery for the medicines and herbal remedies and herbs and things like that. So I'm pretty sure there's other herbs and plants out there that have their officinalis name after their genus name.
It means like a medicinal.
Yeah, it's specifically related to medicinal purposes because, back in the day, the room that the monks stored all their medicines and herbal remedies and herbs and all that was called an officina.
Officina, Italian.
OFFICINA.
Oh, that's great, Carol. No, I didn't know that. So you You do know things I don't know. Well, you find out things I don't know.
So that was really interesting. Oh, wow. So, yeah. Did you find anything out about sage?
Yes, there's one book called The New Zealand Vegetable Garden. No, The Tui New Zealand Vegetable Garden by Rachel Vogan. It says on here, third edition, 30,000 copies sold. I found the Tui fruit garden one very helpful for me when we were trying to prune our fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to take it back to the library because it was due and someone else had requested it. So I got this one and thought, I'll learn about veggies since I'm doing new raised veggie bed. Mm-hmm. And it also has herbs in it.
Well, as you know, you can't have a veggie plot without herbs, can you?
And on page 247, it's got sage, lovely full colour picture of sage.
Oh, I can see, beautiful pictures.
But it has just basic information. It doesn't go into all the detail that your how can I use my herbs in my daily life book. And the thing with the Tui New Zealand Vegetable Garden, or all the Tui books, is they want you to use the Tui products. So they'll say how to plant these herbs and put it in Tui herb mix and use Tui compost and Tui sheet pellets.
Yeah, it gets a bit, monotonous?
It's got cooking with sage. There's a recipe that has sage goes well with pumpkin, chicken, pork, bacon, parmesan cheese, gnocchi, pasta and butter and garlic.
Yeah.
Very good in Italian dishes and roast dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you a recipe for pumpkin and sage risotto.
Oh, yum.
So,
It sounds delicious.
But apparently at this time of year, which is June, July, we're not supposed to sow or plant sage.
Yes. If it's going through like a severe winter, I guess you could say this is just because of the amount of rain we've had.
Yeah.
And the soil isn't well draining, your sage will die.
Oh.
That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of herbs do, actually, under those conditions.
Because if you think about it, it originally came from the Mediterranean, where it's sandy, dry, sunny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
funny. But in saying that, it still needs water. If you don't water it for a while, it does start to wilt and get a bit pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe it's like a New Zealand form of sage. It's gotten soft. Hey, it happens.
So that book wasn't particularly helpful, although it had a beautiful colour photo of
it. Well, yeah, that's good. You've got to give it that. We love photos.
But the other one that I have desk referenced to Nature's Medicine goes into a bit more detail about sage, the origins, and it has a little sidebar on page 319, sage in old age. And apparently sage has been found to have compounds that would help with memory and treating Alzheimer's.
I have been reading the exact same sort of information that I left on the kitchen table at home for this specific interview. But same thing. Yes, Selena.
Yes.
Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Yeah, essential oils and components of sage and whatnot.
Research is continuing on preventing Alzheimer's. English herbalist John Gerard wrote of sage in the 16th century, "It is good for the head and brain and quickeneth the nerves and memory."
Yes, and a lot of people, I've found that exact quote in quite a number of scriptures. Isabel Shepherd, online I found that. I've read it in a number of places, about sage.
There is a caution, though, about sage that says sage reportedly reduces milk supply and is not recommended for medicinal use during pregnancy or lactation.
Good to know.
Although it's considered to be safe in low doses and used as a culinary flavour. So there you go.
Okay, and another book I referred to in my research is called Herbs, Growing, Cooking and Herbal Remedies, and it was published in 2007 by Penguin, and just a couple of useful sentences for anyone that's interested in using sage. Again, it refers to coming from the Mediterranean. It is said to be known for restoring vitality to the body and is said to aid longevity. So it is perhaps appropriate that sage is a perennial shrub, which I thought was quite a nice little statement. And in terms of cooking, it suggests... I really like this suggestion for anyone, those listeners out there that enjoy getting into the kitchen. For you, when you are using, for instance, sage in meat dishes like casseroles or stews, fresh sage leaves can be chopped and frozen into ice cubes. An ice cube or two can then easily be added to a dish to good effect.
Oh.
I've never done that with herbs.
No.
I've frozen them dry.
Yeah.
But never stuck them in an ice cubes. But, yeah, might try that.
That's a new technique. But
maybe it holds on to the...
Preserves the flavour.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And the flavour of the leaves is quite strong and peppery, so please use sparingly.
Mm.
Okay, because it is quite a strong flavoured one.
Yeah.
And also, just following on from your Alzheimer's there, Selena, it says it is claimed that in this book that it is claimed that sage restores energy and improves bad memory. So, therefore, it is very accessible cure for two common complaints. So, again, and even back in 2007, here we 10 years on, now there's formal studies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, back, it's a wonderful herb. And I won't get into Isabel Shepherd's book because I've touched on her book several other times. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'll let it go. But she had pages on sage.
Pages.
It's a very historic herb. So I'm so glad that we could share that with our listeners together.
If you look at the dictionary, sage is also another word for wisdom.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And
yes,
people
it is.
Would call wise people sages.
Yes, and the Greek philosophy, they would call someone who attained an eternity of knowledge or something like that. Or,
like a guru or...
Yeah, a sage.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a link there to, you know, longevity or memory, mental alert, you know.
I think so. Well done, Karen. You've done your research.
Oh, that was fun. Great. I enjoyed researching that. Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a break now and we'll be right back. We're going to listen to a Read All Day.
I stay up too late. Got reading on my brain. That's what students say. What this book means to me, me, me. But I'm just gonna read, 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 read. Read all day, read all day. I never miss a book. I'm reading on my Nook. I practice fluency. Mm-mm. Practice fluency. Mm-mm. I'm reading on my own.
Reading on my own.
I read words as I go.
Read words as I go.
Gotta make sure I decode.
Mm-mm.
Sure, I decode,
mm-mm.
But I keep reading. Can't stop, won't stop reading. It's like I got this author in my mind saying you gotta read all night. Cause the student's gonna learn, 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 learn. Teacher's gonna teach, 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 teach. I'm just gonna read, 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 read. Read all day, read all day. See, what this book means to me, me, me. I'm just gonna read, 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 read. Read all day, read all day. Read all day, read all day.
solution to, you could have been getting down to this sick book.
My teacher brought us these new books. She's like, oh my gosh, you just gotta read it to the students over there with some time to spare. Won't you come on over? Maybe we can read, read, read.
Yeah. What this book means to me, me, me. But I'm just gonna read, 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 read. Read all day, read all day. Cause the student's gonna learn, 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 learn. Teacher's gonna teach, 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 teach. But I'm just gonna read, 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 read. Read all day, read all day. I just gotta see, 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 see. What this book means to me, me, me. But I'm just gonna read, 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 read.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Book Chooks on Planet 104.6 FM in Auckland, New Zealand. If you missed the first half of our show, you can download and listen to us online at planetaudio.org.nz/bookchooks.
Also, check out our Goodreads group. The link is on the website, where you'll find the list of what we're reading on the bookshelf.
Hey, Karen, I don't think I'm going to be able to read all day anymore.
Why is that, Selene?
This new job, so...
Oh, that's right. How could I forget?
But it's good because it's gardening.
You're going to be gardening all day instead, yeah. Which is just as good as reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still want to share some books with all you readers and listeners that just to get them in so that you can come away from the show feeling, oh, I've got to read more books.
Well, yeah, but the show's going to, you're going to talk to the listeners about, the future plans for the show.
Okay, future book chooks is, you might know we've had some librarians on the show and I've taken it to them if they are keen to host book chooks and carry it on for future Sundays. So he's hoping that they will, and I really hope you will, tune in when they continue. So, yeah, that's what's happening. And as talking about the librarians, the librarian that came on a few weeks ago, Karen, she recommended this book to me, All Day at the Movies by Fiona Kidman. So I was reading that all day.
It looks like quite a big one.
And I couldn't put it down, although I wanted to, because it was quite harrowing and sort of maybe even a bit maybe depressing because it was a story about this lady who was a librarian. So I was like, oh, yay.
Oh, okay.
But she starts in the 50s where she leaves her job because she has a child, she's widowed, she was working at the library, but they wouldn't give her maternity leave and her old job back.
Okay.
So she decides she wants to, she can't stay at home anymore, so she goes and finds a job at the tobacco fields down in Motueka and then starts her new life from
there.
So
New Zealand, not novel, it's
set in New Zealand.
So non-fiction though.
It's fiction, so it's a story.
Okay.
So you have to remember when you're reading something, is this made up, is it true? Well, it is made up.
It sounds like it could be true though. So she's in Motueka. Yeah. What happens after that?
Oh, well, lots of things happen and, she's got a daughter who's maybe in her early, maybe 8 years old or something, and going to work in the tobacco fields means she meets all these other workers, and there's these guys there that are sweet on her, and then she ends up going with one, or is it two? one of them.
Yeah.
But what happens is, oh, I don't want to spoil the plot.
No, I'm poised on the edge of my seat here. But do I really want to know?
Well, you see,
do I have to read the book?
You might have to read the book,
okay.
But I'm warning you, it's a family saga, and some of the things that happen in it, well, as it goes through New Zealand things, events like the Springbok tour and all that.
Oh, okay,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
I found it a bit, if you're, I don't know, they make choices that you'll think, oh, did she really think about that before she made that choice kind of thing? And some sort of unsavoury things happen and it's quite graphic.
Mm.
So,
oh dear.
Yeah, I wasn't sure that I wanted to finish,
Once
you start reading a book.
I agree. It's best to see it through the end, isn't it?
Yeah.
Otherwise you're left hanging and who knows, does it end well for her? Or?
Okay, this, like, I think family, so she has a family and then it's all about how they go on their different life paths and what happens and how they get back together. And I think, yeah, some of them don't have very happy lives, so I found that, oh. But why? But because some of the parents were abusive and
all the
that
cycle
kind of
and all
thing.
That, yeah.
So
yeah.
I know she's trying to show reality and that's a good thing, but also, it's very, kind of gets a bit dark.
And almost, do you think maybe too graphic?
I would say, well, it isn't for, like, younger readers.
Okay.
It's an adult book, so,
Yes, and what year was that?
So this was published only in 2016.
Oh, wow, so it's very recent.
Yeah.
And
as some readers might know, Fiona Kidman has written lots and lots of books.
Oh, she has. I've read novels from her before.
You've actually read some, Karen. Oh,
I actually have. As soon as you said the name, I thought, I've read something of hers.
Yes. Might be she started with A Breed of Women, and there was most of her books about women's lives and how they make their choices and what happens.
Mm.
And I think back then in the 60s and 70s there was this whole women's movement.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
She was sort of caught up in
okay.
that, writing from a woman's point of view.
Yeah.
Which I think... Yeah, I
She's
wasn't around in those
strong, though, by the sounds
days, but it
there.
Sounded like women felt like they didn't have a lot of choice in the way they lived their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I think maybe they've got too many choices.
That's a whole nother radio show there, but I can't help but agree.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the feminists are currently, raging right now. We better stop.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll say the other books. This one, Karen, you might be interested in A Strange Garden by Lloyd Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the life and times of Truby King. It's a biography. And you have any idea who Truby King is?
I want to.
Well,
but pray tell. Should I?
Okay. No.
Truby
King has touched the lives of most New Zealanders, a founder of the Plunkett movement.
Ah.
That led our mothers and grandmothers into military-style baby management. His influence is enormous.
Like that.
Although extreme and restrictive views about women would be ridiculed today, he gave them a health regime that dramatically reduced child mortality and was the envy of the world. But who was Truby King? While researching roses grown in France over 100 years ago, Lloyd Chapman kept stumbling over the name Truby King in nursery records and soon discovered that King was a manic gardener who had imported thousands of plants from Europe. This was the start of a trail that led Chapman all around New Zealand, from abandoned mottled farms and gold mines to mental institutes and museums in search of the enigmatic King, scientist, farmer, husband, father, famous baby doctor. What emerges is a compelling portrait of a truly eccentric but gifted man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like a very interesting soul.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
I think it was, I did, but I thought the author was a little bit maybe biased or didn't really understand a man because he was a kind of very conservative and he thought that his views on women weren't, were condescending or maybe patronising.
Oh,
but
okay.
I don't think he he might have not actually been like that. Maybe he championed women and he wanted women to be able to look after their babies.
Yeah. Yeah, and the days that Plunkett came about were at a military time.
Yeah.
Where everything was very regimented, schools and armies, and I guess armies, you know, still are, but, you know, it was very much that way then, you know, so...
So I think he's putting...
Seems only natural.
...his perspective, his 21st century perspective back on how it was then, because Truby King lived in the first part of last century... And he died in 1938.
Okay. And Plunkett is still going today. I mean, I used it for my child and I found some of the information didn't work and some of it did. So it's just great to have a service that you don't have to pay for.
Yeah.
You know?
And if it wasn't there, I mean, how many babies' lives would have not been... had got off to a good start because it actually reduced infant mortality.
Oh, right,
you can't say that was a bad thing.
No, no. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, and the interesting thing was he was a manic gardener, so...
Oh, so there was lots to discuss in the book, I'm sure.
Yeah. He had, like, lists of all the rhododendrons that he had bought from this nursery. And I was like, that's fascinating. Well, for a non-garder, maybe not so, but...
Yeah. You're thinking, relevance.
So,
But lovely.
Not a complete biography because there are things missing that make you wonder, is he really...
Yeah.
But I think it was worth reading. And it gives me a lot of respect for the Plunkett movement and young mothers especially they haven't been taught by their parents how to parent.
Yeah.
I think they do need a lot of support.
And also what they do offer is they can refer you to services. So if they feel, you know, your child's eyesight seems a little impaired, we will refer you to this specialist.
Yeah.
And it can take out, you know, there you go, it's done. Next thing you know, you've got an appointment, you're seeing a specialist, sorted. You know, it's something you might never have picked up, you know, without having that visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they organise it all for you. You're the one that gets the letters sent to you, and they say, so it's wonderful, because sometimes you're so busy, you're like, you don't have time for those little visits here and there to Plunkett.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't think to book it in. Yeah. So it's a great service. I recommend it.
Yeah.
Well and done, Trudy.
Yeah. And
well
guess
done.
What? He was awarded a state funeral when he died, so people really did respect him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too right.
Okay, one last book that I haven't read yet, Mycelium Running, How Mushrooms Can Help Save the World.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be my next one, Karen.
One mushroom at a time.
Yeah, apparently they do a lot of things for us.
Really? So is that what you're going to talk about now? Or
no, we don't have time.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to say to Selena, who is creator, producer, presenter of Book Chooks, thank you for giving us this splendid show. And long may your legacy live on, Selena, with the uptake, you know, the librarians that are coming in to take over.
Thank you so much, Karen, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in each week. Happy reading, everyone.
Bye.
Oompa, oompa, doompa-dee-doo, I've got another puzzle for you. Oompa, oompa, doompa-da-dee, if you are wise, you'll listen to me.
What do you get from a glut of TV?
A pain in the neck and an IQ of 3.
Why don't you try simply reading a book?
Or could you just not bear to look?
A portal to Auckland's communities, planetaudio.org.nz.